I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
One of the main things for me is just gratitude, right? I tell people all the time, like, if I have breath in my body, I know I can change my situation. The only time I cannot change my situation is if I'm dead. I can't change my situation. So I'm thankful for that breath, because that breath is going to allow me to fight. When I look at storms, you have to look at the category of the storm. And this is a category like 10 storm and shit is just hitting the fan. Like, you just, you know, got divorced and you're like, how am I going to pay rent? And I have kids or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. You have to understand, like, even though the worst storms, the worst thing you've been through in your life, eventually it's going to pass.
This is your Kick-Ass Life podcast, episode number 274 with guest Cornell Thomas.
This is the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast with Andrea Owen, a no BS guide to self-help and badassery. Because ladies, let's face it, life's too short for it to not kick ass. And here's your host, the girl who serves it up straight with a side of crazy, Andrea Owen.
Hey there, Ass Kickers. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad you're here. I just got back from Las Vegas, where I was speaking at the Peer Romance World Conference, which was so much fun. And hey, if you are a part of a company that needs a speaker, I just might be your girl. I do know how to work a room, if you know what I mean. And oh God, it was so much fun. That, I mean, I know that there are some of you who are already listeners and some of you who are probably new listeners, and y'all were the most enthusiastic, fun crowd. And as I said in my talk, this will probably go down in history as the, it was definitely the first time and probably the last time I ever opened a keynote by telling a story about my very first vibrator. So, which it's going to be one of those, like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas type of things. I'm not going to repeat it here on the podcast. But speaking of Vegas, so I hadn't been to Vegas, y'all. I think I've been there once since I got sober, but we were driving through with our kids and we didn't, like, quote unquote, like, go to Vegas. It was more of just like staying at a hotel there. But I haven't been, like, for fun since I was still drinking. And it's really interesting when you are a sober person. Okay, here's kind of a funny thing. My flight when I was going home was at 6 a.m. So I was up at 4:15 and no, I was up at like right before 4 and then left my hotel at 4:15 or 4:20. And as I'm walking through Caesar's Palace, which by the way is like a city, and I'm walking through Caesar's Palace and there are people in the casino drinking and I'm like, why are they up? Oh, they've been out all night. Forgot about those days. And I walked by these two young women who were kind of standing right outside of this open bar type of place. And when I made eye contact with one of the girls, and she was probably in her early 20s and her hair was just a mess. She had mascara underneath her eyes. She had her shoes in her hand and just looked disheveled. And I just wanted to give her a hug and just be like, girl, I have been there. I have been where you are. And I think she'd either been crying or was about to cry. And I have to say, like, I had some really, really great times in Vegas. I really did. It can be so much fun. And I'm so glad that those days are behind me. That was exhausting. The staying up all night, the dancing, all of the things that are involved in that. But at any rate, had a really amazing time speaking for all of the amazing women at Pure Romance. And one thing I wanted to announce is that I have some room, not a whole lot. I have a couple of spots open for one-on-one coaching right now if anyone would like to work with me privately. So if you go over to yourkickasslife.com/coaching, there are a couple of different options to be able to do that. And I've also reintroduced something that I haven't done for a couple of years. I think 2.5 years it's been since I've done a VIP day. I just haven't talked about them a lot and I would love to do them again. So it would be one full day with me. You can either come here to Greensboro, but I am happy to go to a location that is more convenient for you. And we would rock it out in one full day. So this is great for somebody who really wants to work on one or two things. By the way, if you are a coach, I know I have a lot of coaches that listen to this. I'm happy to do a VIP day for you to work on your coaching business, especially if you are newer in the industry. Maybe you just got your certification. You're interested in book writing. Don't really understand the online marketing space all that much. We can rock that out for sure. And it's also for women who have a couple of goals in mind. Maybe you are really struggling with boundaries. Maybe you are truly wanting to up-level your life and you're not exactly sure what that looks like. Maybe you've read my book, How to Stop Feeling Like Shit, and you aren't exactly clear on how to implement all of the things that I talk about in there. So we'll figure that out on our consultation call before we even meet as to what exactly it is that we're going to work on. And the VIP day also includes a couple of follow-up calls because that's how I work best. It's not enough, I feel like, just to work with you for one entire day. And then I'm like, bye, see you never. No, that's not how I roll. So we'll knock it out in one full day. And then you have two follow-up calls with me for accountability, for check-ins to see what's going on. And there's also email and voice messaging in between that so I can help you out and guide you. So if you're interested in the VIP day, yourkickasslife.com/VIP. And then the one-on-one coaching, that actually is more for somebody who wants to dig in a little bit more into their life. If you want to do really deep transformational work, that might be best over time. So that's at yourkickasslife.com/coaching. I would love to hear what's going on in your life, see if we might be a great fit, and then we can just go from there. Okay, y'all, this guest this week is my new best friend. Let's just say that. Cornell Thomas is so funny, and give us a good 20 minutes into the episode because I think that's right around the time. Like the first 20 minutes, we're just getting warmed up and then we really kick things into high gear. I absolutely adore this guy. I know that you will too. Let me tell you a little bit about him before we get started. Cornell Thomas is a perfect example of turning a loss into a win. 1 week before accomplishing his dream of playing professional basketball, he suffered a career-ending injury. Growing up with adversity his whole life, he used the lessons of his mother, Tina Thomas, to stop asking, why me, and start saying, what now? After a stint coaching basketball, Cornell has found his true purpose, which is helping others. Today, Cornell is a global speaker, multiple title author, mindset coach, corporate trainer, and social entrepreneur. He is also a father to Bryce and Naya and a husband. So without further ado, here is Cornell. Cornell, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I already like you already. You and I have been chatting for a good almost 15 minutes now just about parenthood and growing up and, you know, with and without siblings and all that fun stuff. And I'm really pumped to have you on. All of my guests, really. I'm not saying I have favorites, but you have, as all people do, such an interesting story. And I want to start with that because you were playing professional basketball in Europe. I hope I have this right. And you had a career-ending injury that more or less derailed your dream. And there was something on your website that I want to quote. So you say, growing up with adversity my whole life allowed me to get past the why me and focus on what now. So can you share with us, I mean, wherever you want to start in that story? And because before you answer that question, I think a lot of people, when they have something like that happen to them, anybody who says, oh, but there's a gift in this, you know, they kind of want to punch him in the face. So was that right away? Like, be honest with us. Like, how did this all unfold?
It's like you kind of want to throat chop them immediately.
Yeah, like, no, you can take your gift and shove it.
Yeah, sure. Well, for me, I would say it started when I was 3 years old. And the reason it started that far back is because my father passed away when I was three.
Okay.
And his name was Bobby Thomas. He was a police officer, city of Passaic, New Jersey, did all these amazing things. I didn't know my father. I only had two memories of my father myself. But when he passed away, he left my mom the task of raising five of us on her own with no money.
Wow.
And that, my mindset comes from that woman. Like, my mom is such a solution-based person where, despite all the odds that were against us, and we're talking like, you know, early 80s, you know, single mother, you know, coming from this inner city, I've seen bills up stacked from the table to the ceiling. And my mom just never said, okay, this is impossible or I can't do it. So my mindset is because of Tina Thomas. And I didn't discover basketball until I was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first time I ever picked up a basketball. And people are really shocked at that. Like, what? Why didn't you play basketball? It's because I didn't have anything I was passionate about. Like, I was just cool being a kid. Like, yeah. There was nothing. Like, I didn't want to be a superhero. I didn't want to be anything. I didn't know my father, so I didn't want to be a police officer. So I was just cool being a kid. And my mom is from this town called Bird's Nest, Virginia. Like, I legit can't make that up. It's it's like 5 feet long. And my mom is from that town. And she used to bring us to Bird's Nest for a week, me and my brothers and my sister. And we would be so bored. We were just trying to find things to get into. And I was sitting on my cousin's bed one day, and I looked under his bed, and he had all these newspaper articles. And I opened a newspaper article, and he was on the front cover dunking a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrea, that literally was the first time in my life that something hit me so hard that I instantly fell in love. Like, I didn't know how to play. I knew what basketball was, but I never played it before. And I was just like, okay, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be a famous basketball player. Because at that time, you know, I'm 16 years old. You know, I'm still trying to grow into my body. I have the coordination of a baby deer. And like, I have MC Hammer pants. You know, that's what I'm rocking.
Which are always easy to play basketball in.
Very, very easy. And also very easy not to get a date if you wear them. And that was
It depends on what decade it is.
And that, I had like a, you know, the eraser top haircuts, like the
kid
and play.
Kid and
like
play.
I had one of those, but my brother used to cut it. So it was like lopsided. I had the hammer pants. My mustache didn't connect. I was struggling. I was like in a lot of friend zones. Like, I wasn't getting dates at that time. So I was like, basketball is going to be my ticket to fame, to a date. Like, this is going to be cool. And so when I got home, my mom moves us from Passaic, New Jersey, which was inner city, to a place called Rockaway, New Jersey, which was suburb. And I walked 3 miles. I found this basketball in our basement. I walked 3 miles, went to the court, looked at the hoop, and I was like, okay, here it is. And I threw the ball over the basket, and it rolled down the hill. And I realized that, like, I suck at this. And I did that for a couple more hours. And this guy came walking up to the court and said, hey, my name's Ray. Do you want me to show you how to shoot a basketball? And that changed the course of my life.
Like, wow.
It's
that could have been anybody, and that could have been not a great person inviting you to do something very different.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you want to come in this van with no windows?
Right.
No. No. Thank you for the offer, but you're creepy. No. Yeah. He came up and he just said, hey, and he's like a 5'8" Filipino dude. I'm a 6'4.5" black dude. Like, if you do the eye test, you're looking like, wait a second, hold on. He's going to show this guy how to play basketball. And I only had 3 interactions with him, but after the 2 hours, I knew that if I put the work in, I can get better. And so my junior year of high school, I tried out for the basketball team. I got cut from varsity. I played, didn't even really play JV. I was on the team. In my senior year, I barely played. And I started to doubt myself. And I tell people all the time when I go out and I speak, I say, you know, you can't let doubt stop your do. You know, you can't let doubt stop your action. Because if you have a big dream, you're going to doubt it. That's human nature. When people say, oh, no fear, blah, 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 that's crap.
Yeah.
Like, that's not human. That's being a robot, right? So I told my mom, I sat her down. I said, Mom, I'm going to play professional basketball. And she said, baby boy, that's great. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go for it. So at the end of my senior year in high school, I barely played, so nobody was recruiting me. And I sat down with my mom, and for the first time in my life, I heard my mom say, can't. She said, I can't afford to send you to college.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit me hard because, like, she doesn't say can't. You know, like, what? Like, if she's saying can't, then I know that the situation is pretty dire. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to work 2 jobs. I'm going to go to a junior college, a 2-year college. I'm going to play there. I'm going to get a scholarship, then play at a 4-year school. And she said, okay. So I worked two jobs. My freshman year of college, junior college, like I started a game for the first time. And then my sophomore year, I was like first team all conference, first team all region. Like if after 5 years, like of working hard 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day, it hit, like all of it took off. And people just see where you land, right? They don't see all the work they put in. So they were just like, what happened? Like, who are you? I remember you playing basketball. You couldn't even walk in a straight line. And I was like, well, when you guys were out partying and getting your stomach pumped, like I was shooting baskets. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I didn't go to my junior and senior prom. I watched the limousines drive past the basketball court as I was shooting around.
Yeah.
You know, so I think an important life lesson that I learned from that was, you know, you have to be willing to sacrifice what you like in order to get what you love.
Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love that's personal and that they won't already have can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
And I like I like going out with my friends, I like hanging out. I like, you know, hanging out with girls, but I love the idea of my mom never working again if I play professional basketball. So I just worked extra hard. I went played at school in North Dakota, met my wife there. She's from Seattle. Came back, you know, after my 2 years was up there. I'm playing with NBA guys, working out with NBA guys, guys that are going to Europe. I get a contract to play in the top division in Lisbon, Portugal. I have 168 hours before I'm supposed to leave, and I'm on a court shooting around with some of my friends. I go to the basket, and I hear a pop, and I fall on the ground. My buddies come up to me, and the first thing I asked was, who stepped on my heel? And they said, Cornell, no one stepped on your heel. And I drive myself to the hospital, which isn't smart if it's your right foot. And I drag my foot up to the emergency room, and my mom comes down there. And this guy by the name of Dr. Bradish goes, Cornell, we're at the back of your calf muscle. If you feel excruciating pain, we have to do surgery on Thursday. That means you ruptured your Achilles tendon.
Yikes.
And so he grabs the back of my calf. I feel the excruciating pain. And to this day, that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I have no recollection of. That Thursday morning, I was wheeled in for surgery. That Thursday afternoon, I was wheeled out with a hard cast from the middle of my thigh to the end of my foot. By Thursday night, my contract was voided. And by Friday morning, I was sitting on my bed, and my mom kissed me on my forehead, and I watched her walk out on the way to one of her three jobs. I told her she'd never have to work again.
Wow, that was a crap day.
It was the hardest day of my life. I mean, it was the hardest, and we've been through a lot, and it was the hardest day of my life. And that's where the why me mode set in.
Of course, because you're human.
I'm human. Yeah. I'm like pissed. I'm like, I failed this woman. You know, why did this happen to me? I don't drink. I don't smoke. I treat people right. I'm kind to people, etc. And I'm cursing the heavens and I'm pissed off. And later on in life, when I start studying, you know, the stages of change, and they talk about, you know, like denial and anger and bargaining, depression, mm-hmm. and then acceptance. Like, I was just so angry, and I was like complete why me mode. And then I just said to myself, I said, man, but what did your mom go through? Right? Like, what did your mom go through? Like, when we were growing up and she was raising the five of us, and one of my brothers was autistic, and she just didn't complain. Like, she just figured it out. Mm-hmm. So your problem is you're in a boot, right? You have this hard cast on. The solution is eventually it's going to get better, but are you going to sit here and just kind of, you know, just cry about this? Or are you going to actually pick yourself up and do something? So I called my best friend up, my buddy Kevin. I said, hey, pick me up, man. We're going to the gym on Monday. And he sounded like I died, because everybody that's close to me, they knew how hard I was.
Yeah.
You know, and that next 6 months, I shot from a chair with a hard cast. And it did nothing for me in terms of physical, but it did everything for me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
It got me out of the house. It got my mind off it. I was back in that environment that I was missing so much. And I was able to work my way back. But by then, you know, the universe, God, you know, whatever you believe in, you know, was giving me signs that, hey man, basketball is not for you. Like, there's another path.
Oh, wow. But just like life lesson handed to you over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Hard. And that's the thing. It's like, I think when you're open, I use the analogy. I say, when you're open to the fact that there are other possibilities out there, there's different energies out there, and you're kind of guided. It's almost like when you buy a car for the first time, like you never see that damn car anywhere before you get it. As soon as you start thinking about it, you see that car everywhere. Yeah. Like, your grandma has that car. You had no idea, right? Like, everybody has a car. It's the same thing when you believe that there's something else out there that, you know, is guiding us, that mm-hmm. is making things happen. And it's like, you start to see signs. And I was so tunnel vision focused on this being this basketball player. That was my whole identity, was basketball. I couldn't see that, hey, maybe there's other possibilities out there for me.
That's interesting. Yes. And how much our mind plays into all of this. And I love hearing stories like that, because it never gets old to hear evidence of how that works. And I had an experience where I went through just an egregious divorce. And I remember there was a period of time, looking back, I can't remember how long it was. It might not have been that long, maybe a month or so, if that. And I was in such victim mode. Like, it was like I was jockeying with other people. Like, try me. Somebody tell me, come and tell me how much harder you have it than me. And I'm sure there was like literally millions of people that had it harder than me, but it was a pretty dramatic and painful story. And I wanted the sympathy, you know, like I wanted people to be on my side. And I say that because I do think that they're like, that's why I said, like, you're human. Of course you're going to be sitting in that hospital and just being devastated and just shaking your fist at this guy. Like, what the fuck? You know, it's like you grew up without your dad, like just all of these things. And then really, truly, like, when you're ready, wink, wink, pull yourself out. And for me, I had to also get out of the house, because I was just like hanging out at home with a bottle of wine and my cat. And it was just like, this isn't helpful at all. So it was about, for me, it was exercising and just filling my social calendar. And even if it was just having dinner with one friend and things like that, just to like pull myself out of being that victim mode. But again, all that to say, like, you do have to, I think, go through that process of feeling like your life is unfair.
Yeah. And it's okay to go through the process. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to be there. And you just said it, you know, just don't stay there. Like, I tell people all the time, like, positivity isn't the absence of human emotion. It's not living in negative emotion. Like, you can't live in that shit. Like, okay, it happened, But when adversity happens to us, as soon as it happens, it's already in the past. Like a second past the adverse situation, it's already in the past. That's not saying that it's not going to hurt. It's not saying that you can't deal with it emotionally. But it's at some point you got to say to yourself, okay, like now what? Like at some point you said to yourself, this sucks. Am I going to sit on this couch and eat bonbons and watch soap operas and be like miserable with, you know, Mr. Skittles, your cat or whatever his name is?
His name, you know, is Beanie. Yeah.
or are you, it'd be just funny if you had a cat named Mr. Skittles. You'd be like, wait a second, that is my cat's name. And then, or, you know, or am I going to get up and I'm going to start moving? I think, tell people, nothing happens when you're stagnant, right? Like you have to kind of, when it's something like this, like you have to get up and you got to move. And when I started to move, I found, and I got an opportunity to coach basketball. And through coaching basketball, I realized that, you know, I was put on this earth not to play it. I was put on this earth to help people. Mm-hmm. And because I saw these kids that were coming from inner city areas and their parents were basically dropping them off and saying, okay, make my son into a man, bye. And, you know, just taking off. And I'm 26 and some of these kids are like 23, you know, and I'm just like, I don't know how to be a man yet. And I have to teach these guys how to do it. But in that coaching, you know, the tools to become a speaker, the tools to become a coach, the tools to go into a corporation and talk about team, all those things were attributes that I learned being a coach. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until our son Bryce was about to be born where I realized, bro, basketball isn't it, man. Like you think it's basketball, but basketball is just a medium. You're not meant to coach or play basketball. You're meant to do this on a bigger scale. And when people ask me like, well, how'd you get into speaking? Did you go to, you know, Peter Smith's speaker training program? I said, I was on Facebook and I was reading it and it was super negative. And I got this book of positive quotes and a friend gave to me. And I just started taking quotes out and putting it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And even the drama bomb started to like them. So I'm like, okay, if this person who's always negative likes these quotes, there's something here. I can keep doing this. So I just started doing that every day. And then one day I lost the book and I wrote my own quote. Mm-hmm. And people still like it. So I'm like, well, screw the book. I'm going to just write my own quote. I'm good at this shit. And so a couple months go by and a buddy of mine goes, bro, you know, where do you get your quotes from? I said, I make them up. He goes, you should write a blog. I said, that's a great idea. What the hell is a blog?
Sounds good.
And he told me, he set up the blog for me. I started writing my blog. And after I wrote my blog for a couple months, I said, okay, well, I want to write a book. I'm just going to ask Google and figure it out. And so that's what I did. And then after I wrote my first book, I said, okay, I want to go share my story. Well, how are you going to do that? I'm just going to say yes to everything. And I'm going to do it for high fives and hugs for the first, like, however long it takes until someone says, okay, here's a dollar to speak and do this professionally. And that's what I did. And I just started speaking all over, you know, small, like dance studios with like 10 people eating lunch, you know, and I just built it from there. But it wasn't someone guiding me or someone saying, oh, speak this way or do this. It was just me being sick of seeing all the negativity that, and all the divisiveness that was on my timeline.
See, everybody, that's how it's done. I mean, I love how that chronology that you whipped through so fast is, you know, I hear people all the time, you know, as someone who's written two books myself, I get so many messages of people, I want to write this book and I don't know where to start. And I'm like, first of all, I charge $500 an hour if you want to do a consulting call. Second of all, you guys, Google it. It's write the damn book. Just one word in front of another. People ask me that all the time. How did you write a book with, you know, being the primary caregiver of two toddlers and, you know, trying to also build your business at the same time? And I said, word by word, as everyone else does. Like, was it agony? At times, sometimes it was. But it just, if you have something to say, if you have a story inside of you, get it out on paper. And then it's like, but I'm not a writer. And I'm like, if you have the ability, if you went to school or someone taught you how to write, you are a writer. Just, I hear so many excuses and I'm getting all impassioned about it because it just breaks my heart that people have a story to tell and they know that they want to tell it and they let all these excuses hold them back. Yeah. Just write the damn book, people.
Yeah.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're Amy more of a, we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, Mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
I love it. Like, you're getting me fired up. I'm about to headbutt a bear.
Yeah. Cornell, like, write another book.
I'm on it. I'm on 4 and 5 already. Right. So it's like, but you're 100% right, because people spend their lives, Andrea, trying to find time. You ain't going to find time. You have to make time.
You do. You got to make it.
Like, I wrote my first book between the hours of 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. Why? Because that's when my son was sleeping.
I've been there. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying, like, there were times when it was brutal. And you got up earlier than me. The earliest I did was 4 a.m.
Yeah, still early. Still early.
Because it was the only time I had.
You have different things that you have to do. Like, I'm not breastfeeding my kid, right? Like, I'm sitting there, like, cheering my wife on, like, hey, go, you got it. You know, it's like, it's
a different I nursed my second one for 2.5 years, so I will take that.
Yeah, I'm giving you props. Like, I tell my friends that are, you know, new dads, I'm like, look, man, your goal is just to be the support system, because you're not waking up and feeding the baby. And like, when you get to the point where you can and you can bottle feed the baby, okay, cool. Do then it. You can help, you know? So like, I would just get up and write for a couple hours, and then I'll just take Bryce and let my wife sleep for a couple hours. And then that would be that. But you said it, like, are you ever on a plane? That's a great time to write.
Are you ever taking a shit? A great time to write. Like, get your phone out. You're on your phone scrolling through Instagram anyway, pull up the Notes app. Like, I understand, like, trust me, there are days when I have, like, back-to-back calls. I barely have enough time. I'm like, did I brush my teeth today? Like, there are days where I do have that thought. And it truly is about making it a priority. And I didn't work out for 2 years. Like, did I not have time? Oh, no, I had plenty of time. I just didn't make it a priority. And now that's changed. And it just, and also, they've made it so easy. Like, anyone can write a book now. You guys, self-publishing. If you haven't heard, you can publish your own book.
Yeah. You said something that was beautiful. You said one word at a time.
Yeah.
Right. It's like one word in front of the other word. Like, it's just like one step at a time. Like one word, like one word in front of the other word, bro. Like, write it. Like, you've written a sentence, you've constructed a book report. You've done that before. If you went to school, you can write a book. And my books are all short. Like, none of my books are long, because personally, I talk about positive mindset and stuff like that. Like, I don't want to read a 300-page book about that.
That's a lot.
You know, my book's like 75 pages.
True. And that's the other beauty of self-publishing.
Yeah.
Because when, you know, I went the traditional publishing route and you sign a contract. So my first one, they asked me to write 45,000 words. And I was like, whew, okay, I guess. And I didn't. I didn't think I could do it. And I did it. And then the second one, I thought it was going to be around the same. And they wanted 60,000 words. I was like, there's no way I could do this all dramatic. And guess what? Yeah. Just like you said, word by word, sentence by sentence, and slowly but surely it gets put together.
Yeah. If you have content, you could write a book. And like, you, I can tell talking to you, you don't run out of content.
I have a lot
of things to say. Like, it's just there, right?
That's my exercise. So, I run my mouth.
Yeah. Well, that's good exercise, because that means you're going to have about 20 books when it's all said and done. Probably. 30 books.
I will.
You know? So it's like, It's, yeah, you don't want your story to die inside of you.
No, you don't. Well, and that's a great segue to circle back actually to something that you said when you were telling your story. You said, sometimes you have to say no to what you like to do what you love. And I think that this is a great example of that, because a lot of times in personal development, people talk about, and it's super important, don't quit doing things you hate, you know, like, you know, delegate if you can, or just stop saying yes to things that you don't really want to do. But sometimes in addition to that, you do have to put things off that you actually like, you know, maybe it's a book club that you really like, but it just, it's eating up your time. And so say more about that. Like, how has that shown up in your life? And how do you talk to people about that?
Well, first thing I tell people, I'm like, it's very easy to give that type of advice when you have your own jet, right? Like, it's so easy to be like, hey, man, like, just delegate, or hey,
but like, hire a nanny.
Yeah, hire a nanny. You're good. Like, no, bro. Like, what if I'm my only team? What if it's just me? Like, what if there is no delegation right now? So I tell people all the time, like, when it comes to me and what I'm doing, I have priority lists in my head and written down, like, what's important today? Like, what do I have to get done? Like, this interview was a major thing on my list, because I couldn't wait to talk to you, was a major thing on my list that, like, had to get done. I was like, okay, I'm excited. At 11 o'clock, me and A Money, we're sitting down, we're talking, we're having a great conversation.
I think more people should call me that, by the way. Yeah. Continue.
It's on and popping. You know, so I would say just make a priority list and figure out, like, what you have to get done. I think we get so caught up in the extraneous, the stuff that does not matter, that's what stops you from writing that book. It stops you from becoming that speaker, from doing that podcast, to even things like, you know, getting the laundry done or brushing your teeth or whatever, right? Like, you have to figure out, like, what is the most important and what isn't. And when you do that, life becomes easier.
Yes. And sometimes it's just about not necessarily saying no to things for forever, just putting them off.
And like, figuring, like, for me, when I first started out, I couldn't say no because I'm working on the craft, right? Like, I have to get in front of people. I have to speak. I have to work on. But now someone says, hey, man, like, I'd love to for you to, like, pay your own way to speak here. I'm like, hey, man, nope, that ain't going to happen. I'm good. But I have a friend who just got into speaking that, you know, might want to fly out and do that for you. So it just, like you said, it's like your time is valuable. You know, your time is extremely valuable. You have to make sure that at some point in time, when you start doing this for real, like, I think when you're speaking and you're not getting paid or whatever, you're still speaking for sure. But when you start getting money to do what you're doing, okay, now you're a professional, right? This you're doing this for a career. So you have to be very cautious of your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, even if someone's listening who doesn't have the goal of writing a book or being a speaker or anything like that. It's like, insert whatever it is, the thing. Cause I read all your applications for my programs. I listen to, you know, the comments on social media and the things that you want to do. There's stuff that you all want to do. And I actually want to ask you about what some tools are as far as resilience that you talk about. So if someone's listening to this and they're really struggling with adversity, whether they are a single parent or they have a child with special needs, or they're, even if they're just going through a really difficult time, the loss of a loved one or a breakup or divorce or something like that. So they're struggling with some kind of hard time and or adversity. What are some ways that you teach people that how they can practice resilience and handle what they're facing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say, one of the, and this is hard to see when you're in the storm, but I remind myself all the time. One of the main things for me is just gratitude, right? Is I tell people all the time, like, if I have breath in my body, I know I can change my situation. The only time I cannot change my situation is if I'm dead. I can't change my situation. So I'm thankful for that breath, because that breath is going to allow me to fight. When I look at storms, you have to look at the category of the storm. And this is a category like 10 storm and shit is just hitting the fan. Yeah. Like, you just, you know, got divorced and you're like, how am I going to pay rent? And I have kids or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. You have to understand, like, even though the worst storms, the worst thing you've been through in your life, eventually it's going to pass. You have to start becoming solution based and saying, okay, what do I have to take care of first? My mom would look at a stack of bills and say, okay, we might not have cable for the next 4 months. Cable's not important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's important is we have to have electricity.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to look at these storms and put them in categories and say, okay, you might be going through multiple at a time. Okay, what storm do I have to take care of first? Right? And that's usually like food, shelter, you know, if it's kids, your kids are first. And then, okay, what do I do next? So I look at it, I'm like, man, gratitude. And then I put them in a category like, okay, what is the immediate that I have to focus on? And then I tell myself, see, like, whatever it is, you've been here. And I don't, you might not be going through this particular thing, but you've been through adversity. We have all been through adverse situations. And once you've gone through one thing, you can say, okay, look, my shield is getting stronger every time I go through another thing. So like you've been through it. Like we forget how resilient and how tough we are. Like we forget because a storm comes and it knocks us on our ass. And we're just like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. No, man, like you can do it. Like we're born fighters. Like you can do it. You just have to remember it.
Yes. That's what I tell my kids. Like, you, and even in my talks where I'm speaking is like, the bad news is life is hard sometimes. The good news is that we were born for resilience. We were born, our brains are malleable. Like we're meant for change. And so I love that. I love that. Gratitude. I know gratitude's always the answer. Dang it.
Yeah. It sucks though. It sucks because you're looking at it, you're like, yeah, because when I talk to people about, you know, even just being, having a positive mindset and they go. And I'm like, but did you die? You know, yeah. like, but you're alive though, you know, you're alive. And if you want to have inside your mind, if you want to tell yourself there's a storm every single day that you can't get past, you're going to be 100% right. Yeah. That's not saying to make pretend that there's nothing wrong in the world. That's absolute BS. That's crap. Right. But mm-hmm. you can go through life and say, despite these storms, I'm doing my best to have a different outlook on this world.
Yeah. Yes.
In the house. If not, you're going to stay in the house. You're never going to leave your house.
True. Yeah. Okay. I have one more question to ask you before we close up. And this is a topic I don't think that we've covered on my 280 something episodes over here. And that's fatigue mindset. So tell us what that is and how do you teach people to overcome that?
Yeah, it's very similar to when you're dealing with adversity. So you work out a lot. At some point when you took that 2 years off.
I work out like moderately. Yeah.
I was trying to give you props, A-Money.
Thanks. But, well, I got to be honest. Yeah.
But when you got back into working out after 2 years of not working out, mm-hmm. right? It's like, holy shit. Okay, I'm going to die today.
Yeah, that's basically how it felt. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to die today. And there's certain activities that I do in terms of exercise with like if it's Brazilian jiu-jitsu or if it's a hard like strength and conditioning workout where before I get out of the car, a part of me is like, hey, man, you're probably going to die today.
You mean like because the workout's going to be so hard or you're going to like fight somebody who's going to.
I'm like, I'm going to die today. And like and I'm telling myself, OK, you have two voices. You have that voice that is like an absolute wuss that is always telling you, oh my gosh, don't walk down the stairs. You might trip. You know, like that voice is always talking shit, right? And then you have the real voice, the voice that you have to work on and train that can, if you work on it enough, it's going to be louder than that voice. The other voice is going to end up becoming a whisper. So when you're fatigued, like, so with Brazilian jiu-jitsu is wrestling with submission. So like it's wrestling, but you can break someone's arm or choke them out or whatever. And you'll be doing it and you're doing it against an opponent that his purpose is to choke you out and they're good at what they do and you have nothing left in the tank. And there's two things you can do. You can submit to it immediately and say, okay, well, I'm done and not learn anything from it. Or you can find that fifth gear. If you don't know there's a fifth gear there, you're going to submit immediately. But if you know that there, you have another level, right? I call it the finish line. Mm-hmm. So if you are running, and we are dead tired. And I'm like, A-Money, like I'm about to throw up all over myself. And you say, Cornell, look, there is the finish line. There is something innately inside of us that is going to make us continue to run. Most of us, we're just going to run and hit that finish line if you can see it. So you have to find out where's your finish line? What is your finish line? If you're on chapter one of your book, you know where your finish line is. Your finish line might be the next paragraph, mm-hmm. right? I get to the next paragraph. I just have to get to the next chapter. So it's just putting that finish line in front of your face and then just running through that bitch.
Yeah. Get it. I love it.
Get it.
That's one of my favorite hashtags. Get it, girl. I love this conversation. You have reminded me of, it's funny. So we bought a Peloton bike. We caved. Have you heard of them before?
Oh my God. My buddy had, a good friend of mine lives by it.
I went back and forth for a few years on it because of just the cost just seemed like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And my husband told me that if we got one, he's like, I would ride it. And I'm like, okay, done. Then we're buying it. Yeah. And I love it. And I'm still getting to know all of the instructors. There's like the most popular ones. And I was like, oh, I'm going to check out this lady. And her name's Jen Sherman. And she's my age. And because there's some of the instructors, I'm like, okay, I'm officially old enough to be your mama, which is a weird age to be at. I think you might be around my age. I'm 43. Yep. So it's like,
yeah, same.
Okay. So this woman, Jen Sherman, I love her so much because she's a lot like me when I used to be a personal trainer. And this is how I describe it, like a little bit drill sergeant and a whole lot of enthusiasm. Like that's
I love it.
At one point during the workout, she was telling us to like towel off or get a drink of water, and she's like, get your shit together. Like and that's how I feel like you are too. And that's how I am. Like, come on, people. Like it's yes, life is hard and you can do it. You can fucking do it. Just get your shit together.
And don't judge these people like because they might not be able to get it together as quick as you can. And that's what I love about you and hearing you speak is like, yeah, you can be that drill sergeant, but you're a drill sergeant with a heart.
Yeah.
Like you have empathy and with empathy, people will follow you to the depth to wherever you take them. Right. If you're just all drill sergeant or all like, it's okay. Right. You got to find the happy medium in there. Yeah. Like I'll bust that ass. If I'm coaching you, I'm busting that ass, mm-hmm. but you're going to know that I love you.
And I'm still going to see and hear you in your struggle, but we're not going to stay there. If we need to veer back, you know, that's, we can do that too, but I'm going to remind you, you know, we're going to keep going. And I think at the end of the day, like that's all anybody wants. That's all mm-hmm. anybody wants is to be seen and heard. And if you bulldoze mm-hmm. over that, they're way less likely to change and look at the positive or be grateful or all these things that we've talked about. It's like that's something I've learned so much just in my own experience and helping people is like, oh my God, people just want to be seen in their humanity.
Yeah, facts. I love it. I love that for sure. Man, this is great. Like you're getting me fired up.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I can fire up the audience and the guest. Yeah. But I'm grateful for that. And thank you for telling me. And thank you for being here. And everybody, thank go you. To Cornell-Thomas.com and read everything Cornell's ever written. And where else do you want to send people? Is that the best place to get your books and stuff?
Yeah. And, they're on Amazon as well. But Instagram, Cornell-Thomas34, LinkedIn, Cornell-Thomas, Twitter, Cornell-Thomas. Same thing. I'm not like tall guy 32 dot whatever, so it's just all under Cornell Thomas, and when you reach out to me, I'll reach out right back. That's just who I am.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I've so loved this conversation, and of course listeners, thank you so much for being here. I know how valuable your time is, and I'm so grateful and honored that you spend it with me and my guests. And please stay tuned next week. We're gonna have a great episode for you, and until next time, ass kickers, I will see you all out in cyberspace. Bye bye. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. I hope you loved it. And hey, can you do me a favor? If you haven't already, can you rate and review the podcast wherever you listen? Or if you find the podcast for the first time on the web or even in an email, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or absolutely wherever you listen. This helps us out tremendously. Thanks so much.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, Whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.